Welcome to the official Leeds United podcast with me, Matthew Lewis, and this guy, Jermaine Beckford. Woo, woo, woo.
I love the little Jermaine Beckford.
Jermaine Beckford.
French jeu.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You're a bit too classy for just a Jermaine. You're a Jermaine Beckford.
Oh, I've not heard many people refer to me as classy before, so appreciated.
Oh, yeah. You've got a certain je ne sais quoi about you. How are you, Bex? You all right?
I'm great, mate. I'm great. I was at Elland Road the other night, and I got to watch a phenomenal performance. Absolutely fantastic.
We're going to get onto that.
What about yourself? How are you? You're smiling again, mate. What is going on, man?
And you know what? I'm smiling because you have allowed me to... You've very kindly rushed into the studio to record this quickly. I'm in the middle of all kinds of things. I'm going through the naturalization process, as they call it, to become a US citizen. And it is an absolute ball ache, let me tell you. So I'm currently trawling through all kinds of travel records to figure out where and when I've been for the last, like, 5 years that they want to know and all this stuff. So it's...
Is it quite intrusive? I assume it is.
Because I've already done the green card stuff, I've got most of it already together. It's all just like marriage documents and birth certificates and all that stuff, which I've already got. But the idea of travel, because I travel a lot for work as well as just like trips back to England, trying to piece it together for the last 5 years is like, I've no idea. And if you get it wrong, like... They know you've got it wrong, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think you're trying to pull the wool over their eyes.
Yeah.
See, that would stump me as well. I wouldn't have a clue. Not a clue.
So that's what I'm doing right now, trying to figure that out.
Sounds like a fun day.
Yeah, I can't wait to go through all that paperwork. Brilliant. So let's get on something more exciting. Delighted to say that this week we caught up with Leeds United women's manager Rick Passmore and captain Rebecca Bass as the side prepare for an epic FA Cup clash with Arsenal next week. So that'll be coming up later. But first, Bex, let's talk about it. The 5-2 FA Cup win over Cardiff City. There's so much to unpack, but we'll try and make this quick because we've got the interview. So first of all, thoughts on the whole 90 minutes?
Disappointing. I'm joking.
Yeah. I'm joking. Those two goals are conceded. Very disappointed.
Absolute joke, man. look, it's the first goal conceded. I'm going to talk about the goals conceded because
get it out of the way.
So I think the first goal was just went through Billy's legs. He didn't have... He just didn't shut his legs in time, basically. Yeah. But the funny thing was, he looked down at his legs like, hold on, why are you not doing as I'm telling you to do?
You know? Right.
So I found that amusing because we were 5-0 up at the time.
And we'd asked him to come into centre-half, which,
that's no excuse. We love Billy.
No, I know, not for what he did. I mean, that was dreadful. But I will give him a benefit of the doubt.
Exactly that. The second one, it was a joke of a handball. Absolute joke.
It's not a penalty, is it?
It's not a penalty. It's outside. Again, we're 5-1 up at this point. There's literally seconds left on the clock.
Yeah.
You take it begrudgingly. But you'll take it and move on. Right, rubbish stuff out of the way. The great points now. I feel like every single one of our players were playing on the front foot. Super energetic, straight from the off. Nonto's first goal. Flipping heck.
Wow.
Wowza. So that reminded me of De Canio. Do you remember that De Canio goal? I think it was... Was it against Wimbledon or someone like that? Where the ball's just come over and he's almost scissor kick volleyed it. Oh, what a finish. Yeah. 25, 26 seconds? Come on.
It's mad, isn't it? I mean, a great ball from Rodrigo as well. He sees the run and he puts it on a dime for him, but what technique.
Do you know what? And it comes over the defender's shoulder, blindside as well. So like for him to maintain full focus and full vision of the ball as it's coming down, anticipate the defender missing it and then bang, hitting it on the volley. Mate, outrageous. Yeah. Buzzing for him. So that's a great way to start the game. Obviously, it settles nerves down as well, which is ultimately what we need to do. His second goal, lovely. Really, really well taken. Cuts in from
Clever
the right-hand side. Yeah, but he catches it so early and comes back across himself where the goalkeeper just doesn't have a chance.
Like, he moves the ball like... onto his shooting foot. You know, sometimes players get it stuck in their feet or they have to take a touch to open them. He can move it onto his shooting boot so quickly.
That's that low centre of gravity.
Right.
It benefits him in moments like that, in instances like that. And do you know what's quite unique about him? because he's so short, shorter players are not usually rapid, not usually very quick, because they they don't cover as much ground in terms of each individual step. Whereas because he's able to move his legs so quickly, he's able to get away from players. Now, there was one chance, I think it was down our left, their right, and their defender, Sang, I think his name was opening his legs. He was absolutely going for it, hell for leather, chasing him, and he just couldn't get anywhere near him. And Nonto just kept on pulling away. He's brilliant. And I think we only paid 5 million quid for him. I mean, absolute bargain at that price.
Yeah, we probably need to hide him a little bit, don't we, until the window's closed. He's not going anywhere.
And then we've got Rodrigo, buzzing for him to get another goal.
Yeah, another
11
goal
for the season now, all comps, which is lovely. But look, let's address the elephant in the room. Well, not so much in the room. Mr. Bamford.
It's about bloody time, isn't it?
Buzzing for him. Two appearances off the bench, two lovely finishes. The first one, it's a difficult finish, by the way. Bouncing up, he's running away from it, and he just so casually showed so much nonchalance to side-foot volley it into the far post. Mate, it's a difficult finish.
He just picked it, placed it. Lovely. Like, what a finish.
Yeah, buzzing for him. As I mentioned, like, it's another game for him off the bench. It's another game for him where he's got himself a goal. So confidence-wise, that's done wonders for him. But I had a quick chat with him as well. I just said to him, look, it's great to see you back out there with a smile on your face playing, but relatively pain-free as well. And he said, you know what? Apart from being exhausted, I actually feel pretty good. And that in itself is great.
It feels like it's the first time in a long time that his body's doing what he wants it
to do. Supposed to, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah.
But we also saw the instinctive nature of himself as well in his second goal. So, he lovely little 1-2 with Joffy. Well, a little bit fortunate 1-2 with Joffy initially, but Joffy popped it back into his path. Great first touch out of his feet, but he kind of hit it so early with the outside of his left foot into the far corner with no backlift that the keeper had no chance. Like, it was brilliant. Really, really happy for him. Really happy.
I mean, so on that note, you know, you've got Pat with a brace, looking sharp. And even he is, by his own admission, not 100% yet, but still looking pretty sharp. Yep. You've got Rodrigo still scoring. Yep. And Nonto looking like he's the best thing since sliced bread. Like, that's got to be a huge boost for Sunday's game against Brentford.
And also, Sinisterra's back as well. He came back on the pitch. You know, so that's another massive boost.
And our new boy.
New boy's in the squad for the weekend. I thought Max Verba did well. Leader, natural born leader as well.
Have we got any word on Max's little knock there? Because he looked good when he was on the field, and we did notice when he was off, didn't we?
Yeah, not just yet. I'm going to try and chase a couple of people and get a little bit of insight. But no, not yet. But I thought he did really, really well. He looked so calm and comfortable on the ball, didn't he? But that's the leadership qualities that he possesses. You know, he was the captain of Salzburg for a reason. And we saw that on Wednesday night.
Let's, without further ado, now that we've wrapped up Cardiff, let's get on to our interview. Emma, unfortunately, can't be with us right now. But a few days ago, the three of us, as I said, did sit down with... Well, you know what? I'll just let Emma explain. Here we go.
Leeds United women recently saw off Stoke City women in the FA Cup, courtesy of a fantastic 3-1 win, with Rick Passmore's side fighting back from an early Stoke goal to claim the win against the higher league side. Now, I'm delighted to say we're now going to be joined by manager Rick and fullback Rebecca Bass for a catch-up on the side's recent fortunes. Without further ado, lads, huge round of applause and welcome for Rick and Rebecca.
Welcome. Woo!
Congratulations, guys.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Before we get stuck into your performance, how are we both?
Very good, thank you.
Yeah, really good. Looking forward to training, and obviously big games coming ahead, so it's a good place to be.
What is it like in camp at the minute, Rebecca? Because obviously what a great result that was, but what is it like? What's the feeling like amongst the women at the minute?
Everyone's just absolutely buzzing. Obviously, we've missed a few games before Christmas due to like the weather and stuff. So to finally get to play on Sunday was just, everyone was over the moon. And just to get the win, like, that's probably going to be the best game that anyone in the team's played. So just an amazing experience that we can go and have together.
We'll talk to Rick about the management side of it in a minute, but as a player, when you're playing opposition above and you go an early goal down, how's that for you on the pitch? Like, how do you get back on the front foot, so to speak?
There's two kind of ways that you can look at it. If you go a goal down, you can either get your heads down and think it's going to be a really long day, or you can think we've got quite a lot of time to get this back. And the girls in the team have just got that about them. We work hard for each other and for everyone around. So it was really good to get the first goal in. And I think when we got that in, we kind of knew that it was our day. We knew that everyone was going to work hard and get that win for us. So it's really nice because we all do work hard for each other, and it shows afterwards how buzzing everyone was to get there.
Class.
Rick, how proud were you?
I think it's just a building process, because every time we're playing in training or in the games, they're progressing. And then, like you say, on Sunday against high league opposition, we've gone one down within a minute, but nobody panicked. And like you say, sometimes for 5-10 minutes, the shape goes, the structure goes, but it didn't on this occasion. And they worked themselves into it, and particularly the first half, dominated possession. So they're showing a real professionalism and a sign of maturity going through the game. And one of the difficulties I had is that we didn't play since the 4th of December. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got the festive period, you've got postponements, and I was worried about losing momentum, because Darren will just tell you, momentum and confidence
huge
just means so much. And for them then to turn it round and complete the victory in the manner of which they've done it is absolutely fantastic, and we can build on it.
So what were you doing in during that time away from match days? Was it a couple of days a week training continuously, or did you give the women a little bit of time off to kind of recalibrate, refocus? Rebecca's shaking her head there. No?
there's quite a lot of things that happen in terms of from emails and Zooms and everything to keep them focused. They had a work plan away in terms of the physical performance, ready for them to come back into training, because the time that I've with them in training, it's got to be technical and tactical. The physical performance, they can work on their own in their own gyms, or, you know, go to the gym on that side. So they can come into the first training session at least at 90%, because there's nothing, as you know, like playing a game compared to, you know, running on a treadmill, completely different sort of physicality. So they had a work plan ready to come in, and I think it's just an education of like the 4 or 5 months, because, you know, since your great days here and everything, Jammer, I did 14 years in and around the club and the academy, and it's a great education for you as a person and as a coach, being around other staff and other players learning, and just really wanted to feed it into the players slowly but surely, so that they come back into the new year with that same mindset as well, that we want to do as well as we can. But what was really, really impressive is, like I said, we went 1-0 down, but nobody at all panicked. They look like, hey, we've got a plan. We work to our plan.
Right.
We know how, in possession, out of possession, what we want to put, how we want to play. And I think it was really saying that, I think Stoke were happy to get off the pitch.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm not being awful, genuinely. But I just thought, you know, we were worthy winners.
Yeah, they didn't like Tadcaster. I don't think they've played on a pitch like that before. So,
Rebecca, am I right in thinking you sustained an injury, didn't you, in the game?
Yeah, I did, yeah. In the 80th minute. Which, like, for me, it was absolutely devastating. I'm a massive leader, and to be the captain of, like, the women's team is just, like, an honour. It's unbelievable. So we'd all worked so hard to get to that Arsenal game. And for me, I think it just kind of hit me as soon as I went down, like, how sore it was. So I've been to see the doctor this morning. I'll go for a scan tomorrow and just see what's going on with that. But I'll be there chewing his ear off against Arsenal.
On that note, you were just talking about keeping your head and not panicking. But obviously, after you've had so much time off and you've been trying to plan as best one can in that off period, to then go down to that early goal, as coach, do you just, I mean, I think you answered the question to a degree, but do you just stick to your guns? You don't panic. You don't start changing things, going, oh, balls, I've got this wrong. You just go, no, we've got a plan. these things happen, let's just stick to it.
Jermaine, I think you'll say exactly the same from all your experience as well. I think sometimes the players will feed off what's happening on the touchline.
Yeah,
so 100%. Sometimes it might go a little bit emotional and erratic, which I tell you 10, 12 years ago, I probably would have been. an old dog now, it's a little bit more calmer.
It's definitely not calm.
He said a little bit. He said a little bit.
I was quite focused years ago then, yeah. So we had a plan, and obviously with 89 minutes left to go, play with no fear, play with confidence. You've got the players' backs. Everybody's got each other's backs because we're building a little bit of momentum. We're just at the start of the journey, and I just trusted them, just trusted in everybody that was on the pitch. And also, if, like we said a little bit later with the injury and things, that's where a little bit of calmness on the sideline and a bit of grey hair and wrinkles comes into it, of like push players around, because like literally we have in the four in the holding role, Sarah Danby was playing there, but I put her down at left back when
she
we changed
hated me
it.
For that as well.
She blamed you, did she?
Well, she doesn't realise. I remember that when she played at Sunderland in the WSL and Championship, a lot of times she's played left back as well, because as Gemma, she's typical left foot, a great left, they've got something about them, haven't they? Just open up and clip it down the line, and she's exactly the same. So we moved her to left back, and Leonie Price, who played a couple of really good games for us before Christmas, but unfortunately had a sickness bug, so that's why she didn't start. So for the last 10 minutes, put her in that holding role. But you know, even during those fluctuations, I thought we were confident, but not in terms of that complacency. Because if you look at it, when they did get a lot of possession, and they had a 10-minute period like they all do in every game, they didn't get around us. They didn't get through us.
And that's a good thing. Like from the team, obviously, you are playing a team in the league above. But once you've got those couples of goals behind you, we've done it at the beginning of the season where we'd crumble a little bit and they'd have like the daft period and they'd be running rings around us. Whereas like we're getting to that point now where we can have game management, we can slow it down, and it's our game to play. They're at Tadcaster, like it's our ground. You're not coming and taking anything from us. So if you hold the ball a little bit longer and just keep that like possession of it, and they didn't get anything really. And that frustrated them even more because it was like, you've got 10 minutes left, but you're not going to have the ball to score, unfortunately. And that's a credit to all the players to kind of keep that game management and focus on, we need to get to the end of this game with a win.
And I imagine a similar attitude is going to be required in the game against Arsenal. Rick, how do you prepare for a game like that?
I'm employing a bricklayer. Got one of them.
Right in front of the goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I get the bus on the pitch as well. There's going to be a focus on a team shape and a plan, without a shadow of a doubt. But, you know, for the players, they've got to go and enjoy it. So if I throw it over Jermaine, you know, that goal, Man United away, that team, how did you approach that?
Yeah, fearless.
You know, they were flying.
Yeah.
We've come into the game. We've obviously had that fantastic goal. We've gone on.
With the phenomenal first touch. Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got to be aware of that, you know, you don't over focus on or emphasize on the opposition. You've got to ensure that you have your principles and the way you want to play. Because I think if you over focus and analyze the opposition, it brings anxiety into your group. And you've got to remind yourselves of what we're good at and how we've got this far in the FA Cup. So we've got to ensure that the players feel fully confident and believe in what we're trying to achieve and do. So we will be going in with a plan, but definitely over the next 2-3 weeks, just got to love every moment of being up at Thorpe Arch and being at this club and playing with this badge, as you all know, because we're all fans of the club as well, aren't we? We just absolutely love it. So we've got to enjoy it, but we'll have a plan behind us.
Rebecca, how are your teammates feeling ahead of the game against Arsenal?
Everyone's absolutely buzzing. Obviously, we're in like the fourth tier of women's football, and Arsenal are probably top five in the world at the moment. Wow. So, like, for us, it's the experience. But we're going to play against some of like the best players in the country, in the world at the minute. So, as a player, that's all you want to do. That's all you aspire to do as a young kid. But we're going to go and play our game of football. We've beaten three teams in the league above already to get us to where we are and into the next round of a different cup that we're in. And we've just got to go into it so fearless, because we can go and get something there if we work hard for each other. Anything can happen. You know, it's the magic of the FA Cup, and we're Leeds United at the end of the day. We're not just a little club that's turning up and putting the name out there. We play for one of the biggest clubs in the world, so we need to go and prove that and show to everyone around that that's where we want to be, and we want to be creating memories for every single one of us.
We've obviously got them worried as well, Emma, because they've gone this week and signed two more internationals.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, they've heard of Woodruff Bass and they've heard of George Williams, so they've gone, we've got a bit of recruiting.
But you've actually got good form in the Cup, haven't you, during your previous time here at Leeds United, Rick?
I was going to say that, yeah.
A very different era and everything like that. So 2008, we got to the FA Cup final, average age of 17 years. And 6 months.
Wow.
Many of them then went into the WSL and have played for 10, 12 years at the top, played for internationals. When we first set off, it was Sue Smith as our one international. Within 3 years, there were seven. But also within that, we had so much homegrown talent, and even our reserves had a fantastic nucleus. And in terms of that way as well, Gemma Granger was our reserve team manager, who's now the Welsh women's national team manager. So, you know, it's not a hotbed of just pathways for the players, but it was for coaches as well. I think we finished the highest we've done as a Leeds United in the top league. We finished third, and we were progressing nicely until obviously the change in terms of the WSL, and you had to put in a license in, etc., and funding. I've been to a couple of cup finals and league cup finals within the women's game. And one thing still, if you go back years ago, and we go back to the days in the men's game, the FA Cup within the women's game is still the biggest occasion, the biggest day. We've got the Champions League with Lyon and the Arsenals and people, but in the UK, that day is still so special. You know, it's changed so much within the men's game, but the FA Cup final for the female footballer is a big coup. So to get there is a tremendous achievement, and obviously what we're doing at the moment, we're fledglings again. We're just new with the direction with the club of which way we want to go. We're in them early days, but you know, if you throw us up Arsenal, let's do it. Let's go there and let's go and enjoy it.
You obviously, like you've said there, Rebecca, playing against some of the best players in the world in this game. But we're not going to make up numbers, like you've already said. We're going there to get a result and get a win. But regardless of the result, is there a lot that can be learned from these sort of games, either for yourself about your players and for you, Rebecca, about yourselves? Is there so much you can get out of it regardless of result?
Yeah, 100%. That's where we all want to be in our lives. You know, we're playing football because we love doing it, and that's where you want to be. So there's a few of us in the team that have played at like a higher level and managed to play against these teams. But now you're looking at it, and the majority of the Arsenal team are playing international. So that's where you've literally got to set the bar and say, well, this is where we want to be, and we don't want to stop until we get there. So that's our aim. That's all we want to get to. And I think the players know that. We know that this is going to be a massive thing for ourselves, for our families, and for the club. So it's just go and enjoy the moment, but just go and give it 150%, because if we don't, then there's no point going. Just go play our game of football and work till the end. And nobody will take that away from us. Rick might shout on the sidelines.
He doesn't mean it, that's all.
Before we let you both go, Rick, I just want to ask you, in your experience, how has the women's game evolved, do you think, over the years?
Absolutely huge. I think in terms of, and again, Jermaine, you played there. I was at Scunny for quite a few years. That was the first time I coached a female team or did grassroots soccer at Scunthorpe before coming across to Leeds. We developed and progressed from a centre of excellence where the subsidy in them days was £2,000 to run two band age groups under 10s, 12s, 14s, 16s. Then the open age team, you were going on pictures that the lads had played on just before.
So they've been chopped up.
Yeah, big time.
Massive, huge differences.
Well, they weren't the best when we were playing on them, so I can only imagine what it was like for you lot.
No chance, yeah.
Absolutely. We had players in them days that would change shifts. They'd be working in the morning, or they'd go to the gym in the morning, then they'd go and do their 8 hours work, then they'd come training up to Thorpe Arch, then get home, bed, straight up 5-6 o'clock in the morning, go in the gym, then go to work, eat, repeat, all that sort of things. Now, in terms of in the last 3-4 years, how it's progressed is huge. But I'm reading behind the scenes about self-sustainable stability. And listen to by Munich and everything, that we can't just address one area of it. We've got to grow the game from grassroots, but have foundations, facilities, stadia, and not get too carried away, because we're still at a point where the women's game needs to live alongside the parent club, the guys, but it has to at some stage come self-sustainable with commercial enterprise as well. But the growth in such a short period has been huge. And then on the pitch, the athletes and the performance that you're seeing, you now would go and be entertained. Years ago, you'd have to go watch the Arsenal. You'd have to watch Leeds, Everton. Now you can go in the WSL and on a Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, you know, with your family, go and watch a game, be fully entertained in a safe, secure environment, enjoy it, and then obviously build a legacy and a new fan base, but players for tomorrow's that will be inspired from what they say on the pitch.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Obviously, I'm out here in the USA where the game's been huge for a while, probably the pinnacle of the sport. But obviously with the national team flying, beat the USA, won the Euros, do you see the English game being almost at a level with them now? Or do you think there's still a way to go, like you're saying, with grassroots and whatnot? Do you think the foundation still needs to be improved?
You're looking at the Super League now, and Arsenal are playing at the Emirates, like Man United are playing at Old Trafford, like the women's teams, and they're like pretty much shelling these stadiums out, whereas 10 years ago when I was growing up, like that would never happen. Like you'd be getting 60 people coming to watch, and it was people's families, you know, like your grandmas and that were turning up to come see you, whereas now it's getting spoken about so much more, and everywhere you look, there's a female footballer somewhere, and that for me is amazing, to think that some of these young kids have got that they can grow up to live into. Because unfortunately, 10, 15 years ago, that was never a thing. It was always you could just play with your mates and that was fine. But now people can look at it and say, well, do you know what? I want to be a women's footballer and that can be my career. And it's really good to see that they can actually do that and be proud of what they're doing.
Do you feel supported, Rebecca? Do you feel supported by the club?
Yeah, and especially at Leeds. Like, Leeds are brilliant with us. You know, the promoters all over everywhere. And people recognise us, you know, because they're putting on us on the Twitter and the Instagram, and you come to some of the Leeds games and people are like, oh, do you play for the women's team? And that for us is absolutely brilliant, because Leeds is just one club. Like, we're all doing the same thing. We're all here for the same reason. So, and as well as being a fan of Leeds United, that is just like the best thing in the world. So I feel backed massively, and it's only going to get better. Like, if we start, our aim is to obviously get promoted and start lifting up the leagues. If we do that, it's only going to get 10 times better, and that can be the dream, I hope.
And your role in doing that, Rebecca, is huge. Being the captain, your role and influence is massive. How do you find it managing that with the team?
It is absolutely massive, but it's a massive thing of pride for me, and I'm so proud that, you know, when you play a game on a weekend and we play at TAD, we might get 300 people come down to watch, but at the end of the game when we've won or we've finished and you walk over and they're all cheering you and clapping and saying, and then you've got all these kids asking for photos and autographs, and you never would have thought that would ever be a thing, but that's, again, because we're Leeds United, and that to me is the best feeling in the world. And I always say to all the players, as soon as we've finished, we go straight over, clap all the fans and say thank you, because they're paying the money, they're coming to watch us. It could be absolutely tipping it down, or it could be 20 degrees. They're still coming and the kids are still cheering us on. And that is unbelievable. It's such a good feeling to feel that. So I think it's really nice to give them something back, you know, and we work hard for ourselves, for Rick, for our families, but also for the people that come and watch us and support us wherever we go.
You mentioned about the possibility of getting out of the league, which is obviously the aim. It's always the aim. How are you finding this season? Obviously, a couple of games in hand as well, sitting mid-table. Happy?
Sometimes the annoying thing is, like I said earlier, we won like 3 games against the league above. And I think a lot of people would say when they've watched them, we have outplayed them. We've played a lot better than them and we've come away with a win. But then unfortunately in the league, we've slipped up a couple of times to teams that we should really be beating. It's football, it happens. Like,
of course,
you don't win every game. But I think that's the credit to the team of the resilience that we've all got together, where that is the aim and that's where we want to be. We need to be beating these teams to get that like promotion and move up a level. So we've got however many games left, a couple of games in hand. It's not nice when we look and see that we are kind of mid-table, but we know we've got those games. And if we just carry on, we've got to play against Newcastle again twice and Durham once. So if we go and win all of those games, we're back in the run for it. So it's never finished until it's done. You guys know that. So that's just for me and everyone else, that's where we want to be, just winning those games and getting promoted.
Well, Rick and Rebecca, thank you both so much for joining us on the official Leeds United podcast.
Absolutely.
And best of luck against Arsenal. Yeah. We'll be rooting for you.
Leeds.
I've got one quick last question just for me. In terms of like the fans that come out and watch you, is it a massive amount of young girls as well that are coming and watching you guys play?
Massively, yeah. And do you know what the nice thing? I know this might sound a bit silly, like there's a lot of young lads that come and watch.
Right.
And they're all asking for like selfies and stuff afterwards. And that, I think before the Euros, that would never have been a thing. You know, it would always just be young girls, which is understandable. But it's really nice that you get all these kids and they all want to be mascots with us. So on Sunday, I think there was like three teams that walked out with us.
No
and I always
way.
Get the tallest one. So I look like I'm on tiptoes to try and get over them. But yeah, we've got like three teams walking out with us. And I know it sounds, they come and the kids are for free, but then the parents come with them as well. And that gives money back to us, which is only ever going to make us better and kind of give us more.
Grow the game
to
as
get
well.
Better. Yeah, so it is really nice to see you. And sometimes we have 350, sometimes we don't have as many. And a couple of times when Leeds have been playing away, but on a Sunday, people would come and watch us instead of the Leeds, like because they can't get a ticket or anything.
Right.
And for me, that's absolutely massive. You know, like you could watch it all on TV, but you actually want to come and watch the women. So that's a massive thing for us.
Because I guess what, you know, if you were to go to Elland Road, I don't know what the, you know, I don't want to make up a stat, but I imagine the gender breakup would be massively in favour of men.
Yeah.
And I guess if young women and young girls are coming to watch you, I hope that they can say, oh, actually, I can go watch football. That's a thing I can do. And then you're trailblazing there as well. I just find it really fascinating.
Yeah, and we played at Elland Road last season. And there was like 1,800 people there, which was massive. And like the feeling of walking out onto Elland Road here in March on together was just insane. But as you looked around, there was just hundreds of kids just screaming your name. And, you know, when you sit and think, wow, like this is actually real. Like, and they loved that because obviously it's quite hard to get Leeds tickets. So for them to be able to get into Elland Road and all those, oh, you're off to Elland Road to watch the football. It doesn't have to be. Oh, we're off to watch the women's football. We're just going to watch football.
Off to watch football, yeah.
Yeah, massively, yeah.
Well, I know that you absolutely love it, but also thank you because I know so many people are super grateful and inspired by you. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for your support and everything that you're doing, not only for the women's section, but for this football club.
Yeah, massively,
As you know, it's a fantastic football club.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Keep up the great work, you two. Rebecca, good luck with your injury as well. Hopefully it's not too bad.
Yeah, appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, guys. I know you've got a busy schedule.
I appreciate it. Just nothing.
Oh, you've been out with Derek.
Right. Talk about our individual development plan that I wrote.
I've not seen it.
I shouldn't open emails, I forgot.
Well, Rebecca, we know you're busy, so thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you both. Best of luck against Arsenal. Thank you. Take care.
See you later, guys.
Thank you.
Well, that was great to have Rick and Rebecca on there, and we wish them all the best for the big clash. Yet another great interview. I find that really, really fascinating. What do you make of all that?
Oh, it was fantastic. So knowledgeable. But do you know what I took from it? How much of a great understanding and relationship they've got as coach and player. You know, it's not dictatorship. It's just calm, isn't it? It's nice environment to be around. So all the best for all of them, you know, and fingers crossed for the a quick recovery.
All right, Bex. Finally, before we let everyone go, I'm going to put you on the spot. Because I know that you're going to be working the game on Sunday, so you must have done a lot of prep for it, I assume.
Not yet, but I'm going to tonight.
Not yet. Predictions, Brentford, talk to me.
They're a very good side, very physical, very big side as well. So I would say, tell Siri to be quiet while we're speaking.
Well, Dave would have just cut that out until you said it, but there we go.
I think it's going to be a difficult game. But I still, again, after the last two performances, I fancy us to go on a little bit of a rampage now. I'm going to say 3-1. I'm going to say 3-1 Leeds. Yeah. What about yourself? What are you thinking?
I still think, you know, we showed in that Cardiff game that we can still ship goals, unfortunately, you know. And Brentford are, we know how good they are. You know, they're quick, counter-attack. Yeah. We saw that in our reverse fixture. So I, as much as I'm desperate for a clean sheet from anywhere, I don't see it in this game. But, you know, if our forward players are going to be on form like that, this could be, you know, what was the last fixture? It was seven goals, wasn't it? Away at Brentford. It was 7 goals on Wednesday. I would not be surprised if it was 7 goals again on Sunday.
What, 7-0? Are you saying 7-0 Leeds?
7-0 Leeds. Yeah, I know. I'm going to say, not 7, I'm going to say 3-2 Leeds.
Okay, I'll take the win. Yeah. It doesn't matter how it comes along.
There we go. We'll speak to you next week as we've marched up the table. Toodaloo. Thanks all for listening. See you soon. Bye.